This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a podcast from Joy's jazz show, Bent Notes. Tune in live each Sunday night at joy.org.au.
David Lewis grew up in Hamilton in the Western Districts of Victoria, travelled as a member of the Australian Youth Orchestra to China and Europe before studying a music degree at Melbourne University. He continued his studies in Sweden and then Paris, where he graduated and stayed to perform in a range of contemporary music, jazz and African groups. Along the way, he met French chanteuse Belle Duberry, a meeting which led to a performing and songwriting collaboration with Belle, which continued into their group, the Paris Jazz Combo. It is my great pleasure to welcome back to Bent Notes, David Lewis. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's lovely to have you in studio. Last time we spoke was 2015, and yourself and Belle were in a hotel in Adelaide at the time, and I recall the fun of having two phones in your hotel room and talking to you from this end.
Right, yeah, maybe Belle might have been doing an interview at the same time or...
You actually both were talking to me.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Okay, that's right.
So there was a little bit of translating going on as I used some words that didn't quite make sense. And it was a beautiful interview. So my thanks for, what was that, 7 years ago? And my thanks now for joining us here in studio.
It's a pleasure.
Growing up in Hamilton, out of the big smoke, did you have much music in Hamilton when you were growing up?
There was an incredible amount of music in Hamilton for reasons that I've never completely understood, but the population of the town was quite small, about 10,000, but a lot of people living around the town because of the merino wool industry and lots of farms. I think there were 7 primary schools in Hamilton. Now, for instance, my brother and sister and myself, we all had different piano teachers.
Oh, did you really? In one town?
In one town of, one small town. So there was a lot going on. There was a light opera company. There was a municipal brass band. The schools had choirs. And it was very rich. Yeah, we're very lucky.
And when did you take up an instrument musically?
Well, I started at school in choirs and recorder bands and that sort of thing. But I started...
Oh, the good old recorder.
The good old recorder. Now, we used to play the latest hits, so it wasn't that bad. And
you must have had some progressive teachers then.
Very passionate, and teachers who were more or less professional musicians themselves who were performing on Saturday nights. I started the piano at 8, then the clarinet, and then when I went to high school, the cornet in the high school brass band.
That's a big change from clarinet to cornet.
It was, and it was about one teacher leaving the town and the cornet being the next best thing.
How did you cope with the change of embouchure from the clarinet to the cornet? Did it take long to accommodate the new embouchure?
I think I love the clarinet, and I still do, actually. I have a particular affection for the clarinet. I think it was more about sort of accepting that the clarinet, there'd be no more teacher, and then I guess gradually sort of falling in love with the cornet and then the trumpet, and I'm still at it.
Still at it,
it's
indeed.
50 years later.
So you went on to study music at Melbourne Uni.
That's
right. Got your degree there. Were you playing professionally while you were doing that?
I was. I was really lucky. This is sort of, we're talking the mid-70s. So as a young trumpet player, there were quite a lot of opportunities. You could actually, almost like an apprenticeship. I remember sort of playing in a toothpaste ad one day where there were 4 trumpets, something you'd never see these days. And and getting opportunities in quite an array of different musical styles. Everything from, I remember playing in Brian Brown's jazz big band at the time, going down and playing in Holiday on Ice. In fact, it's the first time I ever saw on a musical sheet solo ad lib.
Oh,
and
really?
I said to the older trumpet player next to me, well, what does that mean? And he said, oh, you just make it up, That's what I did. So it was... I was very lucky being able to learn and get experience in that way.
What headed you overseas? What sent you in the overseas direction?
I met trumpet players who were from Europe who were giving masterclasses in Australia at the time. I suppose there wasn't a lot of professional, sort of solid, full-time professional opportunity. So like a lot of Australians, I decided to go overseas and study for a start. That's become more common. In fact, and a lot of people stay overseas too. I think there's a symphony orchestra now that they compose every year of all the Australians who are playing overseas. Originally, I thought I'd stay away a couple of years, but once I got to Paris, to the conservatory, and then into the freelance scene there, I guess I never looked back.
When you were over there initially, what style of music were you playing in, or were you playing across the range?
I was playing classical music in the beginning, but I'd always been interested by improvisation. This is the early 80s. Even the classical music we were playing was a lot of contemporary music, a lot of 20th century music. And after that, once I started freelancing, I started to gravitate more to improvised music. Still doing quite an array of things, you know, the Folies Bergères, going down and subbing there, and lots of big bands. And then gradually onto groups that were touring, like you mentioned African music, Manu Dibango. I was in that band for 3 years.
When did you meet Bell?
Bell and I met in a show that was called the Cabaret Sauvage, which was kind of a review put together. It was really put together around a band called the Bashi Bouzouk Band, which I was a member. It had actually been a backing band for a singer who's still quite well known in France, Arthur Ashe. Once he'd fired us, we decided we decided we'd better do something as a band. So the idea was basically a review, but there were comics, there were clowns, there were acrobats, there were dancers, and it all revolved around the band and the music. So I was a musical director, and Belle was the lead singer. She was the main singing attraction. So that's how we originally met. After that collaboration, we continued to work together, started what became Paris Combo.
I love it when people pronounce things in the appropriate manner.
Well, you can say Paris Combo too. I mean, that's the advantage of the name. It's international. So
it is indeed. I think we should have a listen to a piece from the latest album, which is called Quasarco, and then we'll have a chat about Bell and the album itself. A piece called, would you like to pronounce it?
It's Paresse par ici. It means basically lazing around.
Well, let's laze around a bit. You're listening to Bent Notes, where my guest is David Lewis on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to a podcast from Bent Notes. Find more podcasts and show blogs at joy.org.au.
My special guest here on Bent Notes is David Lewis, trumpeter and a member, founding member of the band Paris Combo, something like that?
That's right.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, I got
well
it.
Well done.
Thank you. Now, David, we mentioned Bell before we had a listen to that first piece from the album tonight. Bell, unfortunately, is no longer with us. She passed away a couple of years ago now,
that's
2020.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What did Bell mean to the group?
Well, I think that it was a group, but I think that it could well have been called the Belle du Berry group too, because she wrote all the lyrics and she was, you know, completely indissociable with the whole sound of the group. It's certainly impossible today to imagine continuing without her. So it's funny because when we first started, the French people would say to her, I really like your group. And the Anglo-Saxons would say, we really like your lead. So they'd say to the group, we really like your lead singer. And there's sort of different points of view. But no, she was everything, you know, for the group. She wrote, I suppose, 100 songs, over 100 songs.
That's a big library.
Over the period, either for the group or for other projects that we did next to the group.
From the time that you met her, David, until Paris Combo started really working as a group, what was the time span before you knew that that was what you needed to do?
95, as soon as we'd finished the Cabaret Sauvage, we started playing with the group was already there. She had a group already with the other founding members, Podzi, the guitarist, and Francois, the drummer. So it was more about, I suppose, my coming into the group started the process where we started playing less covers, started writing our own music, That was the main difference. And I think my collaboration with Belle also made it easier for her to put forward her own songs too. So we became something of a duo as well within the group, songwriting and just with a project in mind. So by 97, we'd already done the first album, which had a couple of covers on it, but otherwise it was all originals. Yeah.
And you've done a number of albums since. What's the secret to the longevity of a group?
I think in our case, it was actually stopping for 5 years.
Right, having a break.
Yes, because we had a first period of about 10 years between 95 to 2005, where we did 4 studio albums and a live album.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. Success came particularly with the second album, so that we found ourselves suddenly, I think in the year 2000, we did 120 concerts, including a first tour to Australia. By the end of 2005, I think everyone was ready to have a break. So then we got back together about five years later and then sort of started up again.
The energy reignited?
Yeah, and it was Belle and I had also done a duo album in the meantime, which was also important for us to do something outside the group.
I remember the cover of that album. It was a bit funny.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a comical cover.
I suppose you could see it as comical. We're sort of entangled.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's quite emblematic in a way, yeah. After that, we continued with the group and we did one album where the group wrote the whole album. Then I think since then, it's been more Belle and I writing the songs, mm-hmm. for the most part, the last two albums.
How did Belle's illness affect the production of music from Paris Combo?
Well, actually, we'd finished recordings for the album, most of them just before COVID hit in 2020. Then we, while the COVID epidemic was keeping everyone at home, we finished, vocal takes and bits and pieces, and we had it mixed. We had it mixed by the middle of the year, but her illness was so sudden that really she was able to hear the album finished, mixed. So it didn't affect the actual production of the album, but the ensuing sort of, I suppose, struggle to then get the album out, that was rather difficult. It took us a couple of years to get it out there.
It is a beautiful album called Kwasako with a question mark. What does Kwasako mean?
It's an old expression from Provençal language, which is like a French dialect, and it really means what's going on? What's this all about? Kazako. It means, what is all this?
Which explains Belle's hand on the front cover image of the hands are outstretched.
That was why we chose that particular version of the photo, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And the album is In Loving Memory, Belle du Barry, 1966 to 2020. It's an album well worth listening to, and we've heard 2 tracks tonight. We kicked off with a piece. We're going to hear Kwasako next here on Bent Notes. Where is the album available, David?
In Melbourne, you can definitely get it at Basement Discs.
Fantastic.
I know that for a fact because I've been in there and I've seen it.
Marvellous.
Recently. Otherwise, people can probably order it in Australia online, either through Readings or JB Hi-Fi or even Basement too, I would imagine.
All the usual suspects.
All the usual suspects, yeah.
And all the information we need to know about Paris Combo is on the web at pariscombo.com.
That's right.
A website that's got lots of great information about the various albums that have come out over the years for Paris Combo. David, it's been lovely to have you here in the studio again, or in the studio and speaking to you again.
Yeah.
It's been nice to meet you, and thank you very much for taking the time out.
Thanks, David. I did want to mention also that we did a concert celebrating Belle and her songs in Paris in June. And there is a possibility that we'll come out with a group of 4 singers with the group to do that in 2023.
A celebration of the music of Belle du Barry.
That's right. Celebration of the songs of Belle du Barry. And we're in discussion with people in Australia about that. So
keep us up to date with that, David.
We will. We'll keep you posted.
Thank you again, David, for your time tonight. Thank you for popping in. And thank you for this magnificent album called Kwasako. From Paris Combo. It's a magnificent album.
Thank you, David.
Let's have a listen now to the piece, the title track, which is Kwasako. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9, where my special guest has been trumpeter David Lewis.
Kwasako.
You've been listening to a podcast from Bent Notes. Join us live each Sunday night on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.